Well, we are going to end with the last key, and this is the letter M, and it is mutual activities. Mutual activities. Remember when you were dating, you used to do things together. You had fun together. And this is about my husband needs to have fun with me. You know, our activities, it's funny, now looking back, when we were dating, James had me sand a table with him. He had me paint his mom's kitchen. So now, as I look back on this, I think, oh, this was like probably to see, can she do home improvement projects? But of course, at that time, we're so starstruck and in love, you're like sanding, and it's like, this is the best afternoon I've ever had. You think it's like the best thing ever. So when we were engaged, we were living in Virginia, and we were married at this Kempsville Presbyterian Church, and we had an appointment with the wedding coordinator to meet over some things. And so as we pulled in the parking lot, we realized, oh, there must be an event happening, so lots of cars. As we walked into the foyer, a wedding, a real-life wedding, was taking place. And so we were meeting with a different wedding coordinator. But, you know, you're engaged in a wedding. It's so special, so sacred. And people, the bride is in the hall. The people are lining up. So it's very sacred. And we were, you know, in jeans and T-shirts, were just me and the coordinator. So I said to James, you know, come on, let's go back. Let's go back to the offices. And James is like, and he runs, and he goes like in the little alcove like this, and he pretends like he is a spy at their wedding. He stops like this, and he's like, I have made connection with the bride. I have her in sight. What do you want me to do? And I was mortified. I was like, we're trying not to be seen right now. Like, we're trying to just peacefully, quietly go this way, and there are like very important people right there, and you're like all like this, and he's like, get down, get down, get down. And I was just like, so I came over here, and I was like, sweetheart, let's go. Let's go to the office. Come on, let's go to the office. And he's like, come on, I need more support. I need more support. So he was like totally going for it. He's like, I need more support. I got the bride, but there are too many of them. There are too many of them. I need backup. Give me backup. And he's like looking around. He's like, backup. I need backup. And he thinks this is like the funniest thing ever. Like, he is just having so much fun with this. And I'm just like, honey, we gotta go in this room. And I was so embarrassed. You know, like you get all flush and hot. And I was so embarrassed. I just thought, they're gonna, if they see us, they'll be like, who are those crazy people? Like, you know, like two doors down. And I was just like, this is horrible. So I'm like, stop doing that. And he's like, so he gets out. He's like, okay, I got a better view. I got a better view. Okay, I'm moving over here. And I'm just like, you are. So I'm mad, like, you are crazy. Like, you are immature. Here, this is their wedding, and you're acting like all weird. And he's like, you are no fun. Like, this could have been fun, like, to pretend. And okay, let's go in the back. Okay, let's go in the back. Let's go. And we look at that, and isn't it true in your marriage, like, one of you tends to be more fun, and the other one tends to be not as fun? And whichever one it is that you are, you got to kind of make concessions for the other. So now I actually kind of regret. We've been married 13 years, and I've kind of tamed him. I've made him a bit proper. So I actually, a smidgen of, I regret that. Like, all my good stories are from very early in our marriage. Now, later in our marriage, our stories are not quite as dramatic as they were early on. He dared to do a lot more early on until I said, that's not appropriate, dear. So we as wives, we have to loosen up sometimes and say, this is supposed to be fun. And it's okay to have fun, and it's okay to laugh. Now, you can interpret whatever is proper or not proper, but the idea being, it's okay to laugh. Song of Solomon 2:4 says, let him lead me to the banquet hall. Let his banner over me be love. Let's have a party. Let's enjoy our lives. Let's have fun. Someone once wisely told me that a date night is a lot cheaper than marriage counseling. Okay, so a date night, regular date nights, a lot cheaper than marital counseling. You think of it? If you're there in marital counseling, it's because something's broken down. You can't talk to each other anymore. You have resentment towards each other. You're not communicating. You don't have fun. You don't feel in love anymore. All those reasons that bring you to that chair. And if you will commit yourself to a regular date night that's fun with your spouse, guess what happens? It's really hard to be resentful about someone that you really have a lot of fun with. So if you're having date nights and you're having fun, then you're keeping everything in check, that you guys are getting along well. You have time to talk. You have time to connect. You feel closer. So those date nights. So Jana LaFave and her husband Bob are in my book because they lent me 25 of their date night ideas. So I'm going to give 5 of them to you now. You'll get the complete list of 25 in the book. But here's 5 dates, cheap dates, that you can do with your husband. You could do a springtime date. go to Home Depot and choose some flowers to plant and have a hot dog. Let's create something beautiful together. 2, remember our Java days. Let's find a coffee house we rarely frequent and talk about the past and the future. 3, let's take a new hike in a new location. 4, want to feel young again? How about a game of mini golf? And 5, a quiet night in. Let's do crackers and cheese and look at our old photo albums. Now, notice, doesn't cost a whole lot of money. It just takes thought and putting it time aside and having a fun date night with your spouse. Does this scenario painted in Kiss Me Like You Mean It by David Clark sound familiar? When you go out together on a date, it's not romantic. It's not playful. It's not a time of fun and laughter. You're going through the motions. It's a good idea to go out and date, so that's what you're doing. We had a nice time, you say. A date is not supposed to be a nice time. You have a nice time with your mother or your Aunt Bertha. A real date with your spouse ought to be fun, stimulating, romantic, and sensual. That's why you got married. Here's Dr. Clark's answer to the boring date and ho-hum love life. The activity alone should never be the focus. The focus is the unpredictable fun, laughter, chemistry, intimacy, and sexual desire you create during the activity. Love is the greatest, and nothing could be more serious, but the physical and emotional expression of love between lovers is not serious. Love is fun. Love is a blast. And, you know, some of us are more playful by nature, so it's easier. Others, I'm kind of more structured. I'm not that playful. I have to think, like, be playful. I'm very purposeful. Like, what's the purpose of this, you know? We're going on a date. What's the purpose? What are we going to, jot out our goals for the next 5 years? You know, so I have to be like, let go and have fun. Just play. It's okay. So I want you guys to think about a date that really sticks out in your mind as a fun date with your spouse, and maybe you can recreate that, plan that again. Or maybe think about one of the dates that Jana suggested of the 5 dates and do that in the next 31 days. So do something with your spouse. Make sure in the next 31 days you guys have a date night with your spouse where you do something that you both enjoy. And I know that can be challenging. So you might both jot down lists of things you like and then see which things correspond. And you take turns. I know my sister-in-law loves to go antiquing. And apparently her husband does too, because they just went for her birthday and he had a great time. But he loves to go to the range. She does too. So they go antiquing and they go to the range. So there's give and take, you know. So there's some times where you do things that your husband really likes more, and then there's other times where he trots through and follows you around and he doesn't particularly like it, but he just wants to be with you. So it's give and take with the dates that you do things together. So keep dating one another. Keep doing that. So I want you to picture your life as we get ready to, we're going to pray at the end and just ask the Lord to bless our marriages. And I want you to think of your marriage now. We've talked about the D, domestic support. We've talked about the R, respect. E is eros. A is attraction. And M is mutual activities. And if your husband sees, like, wow, my wife is really taking care of me at home, he says, wow, she respects me. When I say something, she listens. Eros, he has lots of love and affection in the bedroom. Attraction, wow, look at my wife. She looks so pretty today. And mutual activities, we're going to go on a date in a few weeks. That sounds fun. If he sees that those things are happening, you think that will make him happier? If he sees that stuff is happening in greater measure, he's going to be a happier husband. So I want you to think of your marriage as a photo album and kind of think of on the cover is your wedding day, and then inside is, you know, your first home, your first baby, your first shopping trip, whatever, your first fight. For me, the images that come up is I think about when we were first married, we live in Dallas, and we didn't have 2 nickels to rub together and hardly had any furniture. We just had a bed and some dressers that we had gotten at a garage sale. We had trash bags over the windows to use as drapes, and we didn't have, it was only a flight of stairs, four flights up, and we were happy as can be. We couldn't have been any happier, and we called that our little love nest in Dallas. Fast forward the tape, you have your first child. I think of James walking down the stairs of our house, holding him like this, presenting him to my cousins and saying, Simba, here he comes, you know, and presenting him, here's Ethan, you know. I think of that. I think about vacationing in Maui where we had the little compact rental car and we took it to all the places you're not supposed to take it, this little teeny rental car. And on the GPS, you didn't hear that, Mom, and on the GPS, it said it was a road, but it was really just this, like, dirt thing lined with sugar cane real thick on both sides. And we both thought, man, if we get stuck out here, there is no one coming back for us. think of all these different memories, you know, and it's sweet, isn't it? So what I want you to do is think about in your mind and your heart today, you think about those memories like snapshots of you and your husband when you were first dating, when you first married, of the things that you loved about him, about the memories that you've made, and you keep those memories close to your heart. You've got to have the I can hardly waits in your life. Someone I interviewed that was very special is Pastor Glenn Cole, and he pastored a church in Sacramento that I grew up in. It's the first mega church in the area, Capital Christian Center, and I was there for my junior high years and my high school years, very formative time of my life, and he has been married for 58 years, so I had not connected with him for a long time, but I thought, I've got to ask Pastor Cole how to stay happy as a husband, because I know he's very happy. So I was able to talk to him on the phone maybe about 6 months ago, and he said, you know, Arlene, when people are young, they have all sorts of I can hardly waits. I can hardly wait to go to Disneyland. I can hardly wait to go to college. I can hardly wait. And then we get older, and we don't have as many of those anymore because we just get stuck in our routines and our responsibilities, and there's nothing really we're looking forward to. But you've got to build in the I can hardly waits in your marriage, or else it just becomes very dull. You have to have things you're looking forward to. So for he and his wife celebrated their 58th wedding anniversary on the Eiffel Tower. So he said that he was teaching in Brussels, and he realized, well, that's going to be close to my anniversary. Why don't we take the bullet train from Brussels to Paris? We'll make a reservation at the Eiffel Tower, and we'll have lunch there on our 58th wedding anniversary. So they did that. They held hands, and they sat there. Can you imagine being married 58 years, looking like honeymooners, holding your spouse's hands, thinking about how wonderful your life has been together, looking at Paris from the Eiffel Tower? And he said, Arlene, you don't get very many Eiffel Tower experiences in your life, but they're things that you remember for a lifetime. And we've got to build things like that in our lives. So I said, well, Pastor Cole, all these people would be very happy on the Eiffel Tower. Do you have anything cheaper? So he said to me, you know, Arlene, it doesn't take money. It just takes thought and consideration. One thing that he does is everyone in his family, his grandkids, his in-laws, his kids, he's always the first one to call them on their birthday. So much so that when he received his 75th birthday book, inside of the book was a letter from his adult granddaughter, and she said, Grandpa, I never have to set my alarm on my birthday because I always know you will call. So the consistency and the care, it doesn't take money. For you to care for your husband, you don't have to wait till everything's perfect. You can kiss him for 5 to 30 seconds today. You can plan that date in the next 30 days. You can plan it today. You can think in the next 3 days, when's a great night for us to make love together? And you write him a note and you say, Sunday night, baby, it's going to be hot. That's it. And you plan it, and that man, he is going to like that note, okay? So these are things that don't take money or a lot of things that, you know, it's not like we have to access all this stuff we don't have. We have everything that we need to make our husbands very happy. And guess what? When they're very happy, what happens to us? We're very happy too. Now, Pastor Cole has a very different type of ending, one that I would have never thought for the book. So I interviewed him for my book, and that's great. And he passed away this last week. He passed away on Valentine's Day, and he was going to work, and he passed away in his car. And he had made it to the parking lot, and then they found him in his car. And he was in perfect health, 78 years old, lived a great life, and they'll honor him on Monday. But I just thought to myself, my goodness, what a legacy he has left behind of a wife, kids, grandkids who all love him, a church that loves him. And he left the right way. The day before he died, he golfed with his brother, and he went to dinner with his wife. And wouldn't it be nice when we go that we did it the right way, that when it's our time to go, we look back, and we say, I treated my husband in the way that he deserved, that I would want to be treated in, and I did it right. It doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter if he returns in kind, if it's, you know, you do this, and then exactly the same day he does something great for you. He might do something great for you 2 months from now, so don't give up. You know, keep doing what you know is right. And in time, he's going to respond to you, and for sure, you do the D-R-E-A-M, you do the dream, you be his dream girl, and your husband's going to be a much, much happier husband.